Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Feast of the Resurrection is from the Epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In October 1917, the Communist Revolution in Russia was led by a man called Vladimir Ulyanov, more commonly known to the world as Lenin. Revolution was of first importance to paraphrase a thought from St. Paul brings us in our epistle today. Nothing else came close to Lenin's heart than overthrowing the government. He read books about the subject. He avidly discussed it with his friends, and he always looked for opportunities to spread his message as much as he could. He loved his family, yes, but not nearly as much as he loved revolution. He studied to be a lawyer. He found the job to be most enjoyable, but he refused to allow his job to take first place in his life. For Lenin, revolution held first place. Revolution was of first importance. St. Paul, on the other hand, has a wholly other idea in mind when he declares to us in our text today, and again I paraphrase, those things which are of first importance in Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now on this blessed day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may not find such an evil and godless man as Lenin to a worthy example, but I use him because he illustrates something which is common to all people. All people, no matter who they are, where they live, or what they do to make a living, pay close attention to what they find most important. The most important thing in a newborn's life, for example, is a full tummy and a dry bottom. The newborn child, no matter how young, completely commits himself to those things, wailing, crying, and carrying on until he gets them. Moving up the age scale, a workaholic believes his job is of first importance, and he commits himself entirely to it, even at the expense of his wife, children, and who knows what else. Free time is of first importance to some people, and this desire governs and affects their decision-making, their commitments, and everything else they do or don't do. What I'm saying this morning is precisely what Jesus himself has said to us. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But listen again to St. Paul, what he describes as being of first importance to the Christian. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. This good news, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, forms the backbone and the background of your entire existence as a Christian. It is as if St. Paul says here to you, Christ crucified and Christ resurrected is of first importance. It is more important to you than family, more important than friends, more important than employment, more important than being rich, more important than your leisure time or hobbies or anything else in this world. And Paul wants it known that this is not his own idea. Paul wants it known that God told him to say this to them, to you. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. But let me ask you, do you really buy what St. Paul is saying here? Let's face it, St. Paul's words sound nice, but you're not so certain that you really agree with them, do you? After all, St. Paul does not have an understanding of what life is like here, especially in this modern day and age where technology and social ministry, or social media rather, rule your time, your treasure, and your talents. There are just too many voices in your life shouting for your attention. There are too many demands being made on your time, each and every one of them calling for your undivided commitment and faithfulness. If you miss too many practices at track or at the swimming team, you get booted off. They don't want you. If you take too many afternoons off to deal with your kids or maybe your finances, hey, you're liable to lose your job. If you don't take those overtime hours, well, how are you going to pay those bills? And the school needs you to volunteer for this, and the church wants you to volunteer for that. Everybody wants to get their fingers into your pie, and you only got so much pie to give out. And in this way, Satan has succeeded in cluttering your life with so much noise, so much chaos, so many things, all too often of which they are ultimately inconsequential, that you've begun to forget what it means to hold something, one thing, of first importance. All of the unimportant things have been raised to a level of false importance, as everyone around you has deemed all these inconsequential things, unessential things, as essential. And in doing so, the one essential thing, the thing of first importance, threatens to be toppled, or get set on the back burner, or maybe neglected for lesser gods, or just kind of buried under the pile. Today, as has already been noted, is the feast of the resurrection of our Lord, more commonly known to us Westerners as Easter Sunday. Today you have heard the good news. Christ is risen. Having that good news deeply planted into your ears makes today a very good day. A very good day for you to stop and stand up against all of the clutter, all the demands, all the noise in this fallen world and say, enough. And then, having said that, say, I believe with St. Paul that this is true. I believe and share St. Paul's faith in this risen Lord. I believe there is but one thing of first importance, that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything else pales in comparison to this good news. Nothing else matters greater than this. I will love my life and my family, yes, but not more than my God. I will do my job well, for sure, but it will not have first place in my life. That belongs to Jesus Christ. I will value my free time, my leisure, and my many goods, but these will not take the place of my Lord. Today is Easter Sunday in the year of our Lord 2018. Today marks the final victory that Christ, nearly two millennia ago, won on that tree trunk of the cross for you and over your sins, over death, over hell, and over Satan himself. And this resurrection of Jesus' body from the tomb three days later, is of first importance to you, for it is proof positive that your body too will on that last day come forth from the grave into which it will one day be planted. And thus you can say without equivocation that Christ's resurrection is as essential to your life as the air that you now breathe. I want you to think about that for a minute. This Easter resurrection Sunday of Jesus is like the air you breathe, which you know, and I know, that every living creature must take in and exhale in order to live. Without air, all is lost. Yet, as important as air is to your life, you seldom give it a second thought. By God's perfect design and creation, you inhale, you exhale in daytime as in night, in a completely unconscious way, automatically. Breathing simply forms the background of your living. It's the foundation upon which your physical life is built and is of first importance as the source by which your life is sustained. As important as air is to your earthly life, so important, first importance here, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ to your eternal life. Like breathing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ forms the background for you, your new life in him. It is the foundation upon which your new life is built, and it is the source by which it is sustained. The resurrection now gives shape to everything you do. Whereas before, you could do no good thing to please God, now, because of Jesus' resurrection, God is pleased with every good work you do in faith. Whereas before, your bodies were destined to suffer death and the grave, now, because of Jesus' resurrection, God promises to raise your bodies up on the last day from that very same grave. Whereas before, you were one of those having no hope and without God in the world, you, by the blood of Christ, have been given a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, as Peter describes it, an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice here how St. Peter complements this teaching, which St. Paul says is of first importance to us here, when he writes, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. It is this all-important faith connection established in you by the power of God in holy baptism and continually renewed in you by the same power of God as you hear his word preached in your ear that God seeks to strengthen and nourish and build up in you for that one thing of first importance, namely that salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. But St. Paul in our text sets forth a critical stipulation here. He says, you are saved, he says, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you. And that, dear friends, is where the faithful eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood in the Holy Communion becomes of first importance to those of us who recognize that we are constantly waging that war against the flesh and the spirit. That flesh and spirit battle is best fought by taking hold of Luther's words in the Small Catechism, which enlighten our understanding of the benefits of such eating and drinking. He writes, that is shown us by these words, given and shed for you, for the remission of sins. Namely, that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. And so let me stress this just one more time this morning, what St. Paul is saying to us here in this text. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. These things, my dear friends, are of first importance to you and to the whole church, precisely because you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, all of you, are of first importance to our Lord Jesus, who did not allow even death to stand in the way of your salvation. And so on this day especially, we rejoice in these words of first importance. Alleluia! Christ is risen as he said, he has risen from the dead. Alleluia! In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.